Today we are redrafting the first two rounds of fantasy baseball. Adam Azar, Al Melchior, and Chris Towers. Are you guys as pumped up about this as I am?
It doesn't sound like it. Which is not to say I have no enthusiasm for it, but you sound pumped.
I am really excited. We don't get games or days with seven games very often where we get to kind of freelance a little bit on the next show. So I guess I also got a lot more sleep last night because there were only seven games. So maybe that's why I'm so excited. Did you guys brave it and stay up for that whole Marlins game?
Oh, no.
I turned it off once they went down in the game. I was up, but I started watching the Godzilla reboot from last year, and I wanted to finish it.
Awful.
So as soon as Sisha came into the game, I walked away.
It's just awful.
The Godzilla?
Yeah.
Or the Marlins?
Both. Godzilla, just a piece of crap. I mean, the whole movie was made just to be a 3D movie. It was such a bad movie.
I wanted it to be better. Yeah, I'll say that.
I hated it. I was so mad. That it was okay. Anyway, I have a candidate for the most underowned player in fantasy. Are you ready?
All right.
Yep.
AJ Ramos, 50% owned.
Yeah, I he's a candidate. I don't have others to throw in there.
I don't either.
I mean, given that, I think he's got the potential to be a top 10 closer. Because, there's a lot of guys like Sean Tolleson. I like him a lot, but I don't see replacing the RP-eligible pitchers that I already have with him. But Ramos, I think he's worth the trouble. So I agree.
He's 50% owned and has elite numbers. And yesterday was named by Marlins general manager, Dan Jennings, as the team's closer. And that is how he will be referred to from now on, as general manager. It's kind of hard
to say. It doesn't
sound
like he's going to be doing much general managing.
Well,
David Sampson, Mike Hill.
They got a whole cohort.
Yeah.
The more Sampson, the better. I think we can all agree, right?
All agree on what?
The more Sampson, the better.
For media types, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, at least then maybe we can get his opinion on the Godzilla movie. Okay, let's talk about yesterday's games, and then we'll redraft the first two rounds. The big news, Lance McCullers wore Batman cleats.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was
pretty
cool.
That was the height of his night?
I thought it was okay. The line wasn't so great, but did you guys watch him?
Aside from the second inning, he was pretty good.
I thought he came exactly as advertised. His stuff was really good, but he doesn't have the command or the control yet.
Victor Martinez, okay, we know his knee is messed up, but it seems to be reaching a boiling point, and I suppose it seems like the DL is somewhat of a possibility, if not that, being dropped from cleanup. They have got to get him out of the four spot in the order. So things are happening there with Victor Martinez's knee. He answered a lot of questions about it yesterday because he was not running well. But Norris is on the DL with bronchitis, and Tyler Wilson was called up. I'm sorry for sounding so excited about the bronchitis. That's bad for Norris.
That's awesome.
But it's good for fantasy owners. So with Tyler Wilson being called up, what does that mean for Wright and the rest of the rotation in Baltimore?
Yeah, it gives Wright a chance to stay in the rotation. And I think that's pretty much it, at least for the time being. And then, I don't know, it's very easy to see when Norris comes back that he would be in the bullpen.
Well, what about Tyler Wilson himself? How does he factor in?
To be honest, I was assuming he'd be in the bullpen, but I know. Have either of you heard anything different? Because that was just my assumption.
Nope, haven't heard that. Maybe he's insurance in case Chris Tillman can't make his next start.
That could be.
Troy Tulowitzki returned from his quad fatigue. I had trouble getting him in my first two rounds. I'm sure you guys disagree with that. But that's the fun of redrafting the first two rounds. And Cole Calhoun is now the full-time cleanup hitter for the Angels. Does that change Calhoun's value at all?
I don't think so. I think it just shifts from runs to RBI for him.
Yeah.
FanDuel. So I was a little late to the podcast this morning because I was really busy setting my lineup, and we'll talk more about it later. But FanDuel hosts one-day fantasy contests, and for every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. So if you want a bonus of up to $200, I don't see why you wouldn't. Go to FanDuel.com, sign up now, use our offer code CBS. And if you want more help, 6 p.m. Eastern time, we have Daily Fantasy Live on CBSSports.com, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, Daily Fantasy Live. The show is awesome. I watched it last night. Al, you... Man, I was so annoyed because I had Billy Burns in my lineup, and then I had to change it, and I heard Al's advice. I put Jake Mariznick in there, and no, he didn't do great. He had a hit, but he did better than a lot of other players in his price range.
Better than Billy Burns.
Last night was terrible.
Last night was tough.
For offense, I think... At one point, like at like 9:30 at night, I had negative points from my hitters.
Yeah, I mean, I had a bad hitting night, but I actually ended up having a good night in FanDuel because it, you know, the pitching was really good last night. We had the aces were just awesome. So I want to ask you guys who stood out to you in fantasy last night. Big storylines we have to get to before the redraft.
I had one, Adam.
I really feel like this is an easy question. For two guys who are so smart, I'm surprised I stump you so often.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have always liked Ruby De La Rosa a lot. I can't really explain it. I'm not sure what it is. But he was really impressive last night. They should have let him pitch the 10th inning. I was trying to get hashtag let Ruby pitch trending on Twitter, and nobody would join me. But he looked really good last night, and his K rate's up. He's up to around 8 per 9. And he looks like a pretty decent option.
How is that not Al's standout?
I tell you, I do have a different one. And it did stand out because, you know, he was outstanding. And was kind of looking for him to build on the success that he's already had. But for me, actually, the standout would be Cole Hamels. Because he emerged from Coors Field. Granted, not a great Rockies lineup. But... you know, emerged from that start with a great line and continues to lower the home run rate that, you know, started off in infinity almost when he gave up 4 home runs to the Red Sox in his debut.
Let's go back to De La Rosa. Would you rather have Ruby De La Rosa or Lance McCullers?
That's tough.
I think I'd rather have De La Rosa. I'm not 100% convinced that McCullers is going to keep his rotation spot if he can't get his control under control. And that was always a problem with him in the minors. It's not like it's something where it's only against major league hitters. He was, I think, last season he walked 5.2 per 9.
Yeah, no, I think I'd go De La Rosa too, you know, pretty much for the same reasons, more job security. And I was encouraged by McCullers' start last night. For me, actually, he's the standout. Because I figured anything short of just an implosion was encouraging for a guy who really hadn't even pitched that much in Double A. But yeah, De La Rosa is more of a finished product, and I think he's having a legitimate breakout.
And McCullers pitched against an A's lineup that struggles against lefties but does very well against righties. McCullers is right-handed. He threw 4 2/3, gave up 3 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts against the A's. So, more De La Rosa comparisons real quick. Would you rather have De La Rosa or Chris Heston?
I think I'd rather have Heston. Pretty close, though.
I think Heston.
Would you drop Carlos Martinez for Ruby De La Rosa?
I would.
I don't know if I would, but I'm not a big Carlos Martinez fan either.
All right, we'll talk more about those pitchers a little bit later. Weren't really any standouts yesterday other than the pitchers because of what Chris was saying. The hitting wasn't so good. I do have a Star Trek reference later in the show for you geeks.
Last night was a great example of why kill the win needs to happen. There were like 6 pitchers that went at least 7 innings with 2 earned runs or less who didn't get a win last night.
Come on. It's really part of baseball. It's part of baseball.
Kill the win.
We don't need
lip and just ignore it.
We don't need Matt Harvey to have won the game last night to know how well he pitched.
Sure, but it hurts his fantasy value.
It does, but what are you supposed to do about that?
Kill the win.
You just get rid of it as a category?
Yeah.
And replace it with what? Quality starts?
Literally anything.
Strikeout per 9?
Yeah.
No, dumb.
I think you were closer with quality starts.
Yeah, I think quality starts probably better.
I don't know. I don't know if I would get rid of it. I think there is some strategy involved there. You have to look at not just how good the pitcher is, but how good his team is, how good his bullpen is. I mean, look, Matt Harvey did lose a win last night. He's still got 5 wins this year. So it's not like, and his bullpen has been really good. Well, at least Familia has been really good other than last night. So I don't know. I don't agree with you, Chris Towers. I call you out. I call thee out.
Well, okay. So if the wind goes away, what do you? And look, I don't think we should kill the wind. But I mean, what would you lose if you're looking at Cole Hamels' stat line and you don't get to see that he's 4-3? What are you missing there?
Is for fantasy or for just evaluating just a
fandom?
I don't know. I think there's usually a correlation between wins and the quality of a pitcher.
Good pitchers will win more often, but it doesn't actually, the raw number of wins doesn't necessarily tell you anything about the quality of the pitcher. And it's the quality of the pitcher that makes the win, not the win making the quality of the pitcher.
I agree. And that's why anybody that follows baseball, I think by now we've gotten to the point where we don't really value wins that much. But I still think it's a good fantasy category.
Yeah.
I think it's a little overvalued in points leagues. Standard scoring 7 points for a win is a little much for me. I think like 4 or 5 should be.
I can agree with that for sure.
All right, let's redraft. So we'll do a top 24 and we'll just go in order. I'll take the first pick since it'll be the least controversial. And then Al can have the second, Chris the third, I'll take the fourth, etc. And we'll see who's in our top 24. We'll debate when the situation calls for a debate. Do you want to do Roto or points?
Let's go Roto. That's my vote.
Yeah, I vote for Roto as well. So we'll treat it like a 5 outfielder league?
Yeah.
Corner infield, all that stuff.
Of course, you didn't even get a chance to vote.
No,
it was 2-0. What was the point? Chris doesn't even like wins. I don't take him seriously. Mike Trout, number one to me.
All right, yeah, and that does get interesting. And I'm going to stick with Miguel Cabrera and pretty much repeat what I said the other day when we were talking about Cabrera versus Goldschmidt. I think you could make the case for either guy, but I'll just stick with my preseason ordering because both have been pretty much as expected and advertised. Actually, I think Cabrera's been better than a lot of people expected. And a better lineup, too.
Goldschmidt's been pretty better than people expected, I think. If you had told me in the middle of May that Paul Goldschmidt was going to be on pace for a 20 stolen base season, I think I would easily taken him number 2, and that's what I would have done here. So I'll take him gladly at number 3.
Win-win.
I had trouble with number 4. It came down to a few outfielders. I truly believe that McCutcheon's knee will get healthier and healthier, and he will steal bases. I don't have any medical basis for that, but they...
Oh, you're not going to do this, are you?
What? I'm taking McCutcheon. I'm taking McCutcheon.
Oh, okay.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think the steals will come. Maybe he'll steal about 18 to 20. That's still going to be, more than some of the other competition there. I'll take McCutcheon 4. I think he's getting healthier, and the fact that they didn't really rest him gives me more confidence in that. So McCutcheon 4 for me. Trout, Cabrera, Goldschmidt, McCutcheon.
All right. Now, this is tough because we had a discussion offline about when Bryce Harper goes. I think it was offline.
Yeah, it was.
And I said, no later than 5th for Harper. But now I'm looking at my rankings, which, granted, I'm going to do a radical overhaul of today because I finally have time.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. But I don't think I'm going to move Harper ahead of Stanton, and Stanton's still on the board in our draft here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I will go with Giancarlo Stanton at number 5.
I think that's a really good move because that leaves me with Bryce Harper and Paul Goldschmidt. I'll take them.
It's not the same team, Towers, but no.
Yeah, it is. It's actually 3 team league.
Oh, okay.
Doing it.
Well, then, and we didn't snake draft it, so that's not fair. You know, Al, when I did I wrote down my top 24 and I originally had Harper 5 and Stanton 6, and then I changed it. So I did it because I kind of see them similar, like maybe they'll hit around 270 with a lot of power, but I just feel like how can you think that anyone's going to out-homer Stanton? So why did you ultimately end up with Stanton over Harper? And Chris, I guess you would have gone Harper over Stanton?
Yeah.
I'd say 2 things. One, fear of injury for Harper, and just the more proven track record for Stanton.
That makes total sense. I think Harper's cut his strikeout rate enough that I think he's going to hit for more of an average than Giancarlo Stanton. I think he plays in a better lineup, so you're going to see more runs and RBI. I think they're going to be similar in stolen bases. And okay, so Stanton hits 5 or 6 more home runs. Like, it's not like Bryce Harper is a bad power hitter. He's already at 14. He might. It's not outlandish to say he would end up with 40 this season.
No, he could out-homer Stanton. I don't know if he'll out-homer him from this point forward, though, because we are kind of, that's kind of how I'm doing this draft from this point forward.
But if we're saying from this point forward, if it's 4 or 5 home runs, I think if Trout beats, or if Harper beats him in 4 of the other 5 categories, I think that makes up for it.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue there. So our top 6 is Trout, Cabrera, Goldschmidt, McCutchen, Stanton, Harper. Did everybody have the same top 6 in some order?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, so I got the 7th pick. This is a departure from what I was doing preseason, but I'll go Jose Altuve. Any objections?
No.
All right. Kershaw was going at this spot in a lot of drafts, but not for me. I would have taken a hitter ahead of him anyway. I just wouldn't have taken Altuve. Okay, Al, 8.
All right. I'm just pondering whether or not to pull the trigger on Kershaw at this point. I'm doing it.
Okay, Kershaw goes 8. Chris?
See, in this range before the season, you were talking about, like, Troy Tulowitzki. I don't think anybody's even considering him there.
I did consider him. So
there's such an obvious pick
at number
right
7?
Here.
At 8?
At 8, yes.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't go that way. But, yeah, in terms of a short list of players to consider at that point, yeah.
Are you guys concerned about his off-season hip surgery, perhaps sapping his power, Tulowitzki?
I'm less concerned about his power. I wrote about this last week than I am just about his approach at the plate. He doesn't seem to have a good understanding of the strike zone right now.
All right. So who's it going to be at 9, Chrissy?
I will go kind of a similar route with the Paul Goldschmidt pick. I'll go Anthony Rizzo, who is having a nice breakout season across the board.
That was what I was going to say. Obvious pick. Great pick.
8 stolen bases.
So we have Harper, we have Kershaw, or we have Altuve, Kershaw, Rizzo at 7, 8, 9. And then this was kind of tough for me. I'll go with Jose Abreu. He's been in a slump lately, but I still think he's fine. Abreu for me.
You just totally, sniped him from me.
Okay. So who's it going to be now at 11 for you, Al?
It is, I apologize because I'm really, sorting through some players here. I have no real concerns about Joey Bats with this shoulder injury, hitting for power. Average will come. I think it's safe to take him here.
Bautista it is. Chris, 12?
There's a couple of ways I could go.
Okay.
I want to look at one thing. It's too early for Todd Frazier, right?
I think it's definitely too early for Todd Frazier. That is not.
So you're not buying into the extra.
I think he should go in this draft, in this 2-round draft, but he's not the first third baseman I would take.
Okay.
I did not even have him in my top 24.
Not even in your top 24? What a
close.
Hater.
He might be 25. No. The thing is, like, we've seen this from Frazier. He is amazing at times, and then he's a complete dud. This is exactly what happened last year. I'll get the numbers for you, but go ahead and keep thinking
about
your 12th overall pick. Well, that's for the listeners.
All right, Josh Donaldson.
Okay, there you go. Josh Donaldson. And once again, you guys consistently underrate Carlos Gomez, who will be the 13th overall pick in an easy one for me.
It gets really difficult now. Okay, I'm just going to, throw out some names because I'm just, kind of sorting as we go. In terms of outfield, I think it's time to start thinking about Cruz and Ellsbury and maybe Brantley, who seemed to be going 24th in every draft we did.
Yeah, this is Roto, keep in mind. And
okay.
Adam Jones would be another guy you could throw in there. I
actually thought I did, so yes, Adam Jones.
Oh, I'm sorry. Still only Owen Puig, too. I don't know if you consider him.
I think a little bit behind those other guys. So I think an other hitter at this point I would consider is Encarnacion.
Uh-huh.
All right, just count it down here because I'm going to come up with an answer. I'm going to go
5.
I'm going to go Nelson Cruz.
4. Whoa!
Yeah.
Ooh. Wow.
I just, you know, comparing him and Encarnacion, I'm just not sure. I actually feel more confident about Cruz's production going forward.
Oh, man. I disagree. Chris, how do you feel? Nelson Cruz is a top 14 player.
I mean, it's a big boost from, you know, where we had him preseason. And in my last rankings, I had him just 10th among outfielders. Yeah. But when I rattle off those names, I mean, those are the guys. I don't really want to go another pitcher right now. I can't see anybody at any other position that feels appropriate. And I just have to say, there's no reason to have concern about him being at Safeco. Granted, most of his homers come out on the road, but, you know, the whole schedule counts.
Yeah.
And I think he can hit them out of any place. And,
I just don't think he can hit them at the rate he's done.
We keep saying that about Cruz.
Well, sure, but I think, you know, he was at 10 pretty quickly, like 10 in the first 20-something games. So he's slowed down a bit already. He's not going to hit 340. I think that's not
all right, so
going out on a limb there.
All right, now you're going to make your pick. Actually, why don't you make your pick, and then we can compare. Because
I would go Felix Hernandez. I'm never the take a pitcher early guy, but he's living up exactly to our expectations, and he was a borderline first round pick last season.
Well,
coming into this,
totally ruins it, because I was going to say, okay, well, what does Cruz have to hit to beat player X? You know, isn't going to hit for, you know, anything.
So. Oh, no, Nelson Cruz will be a better hitter than Felix Hernandez this season, for sure.
Keeping it in Seattle. But no, who would you take if you had Adam's pick now?
Why doesn't Adam just make his
pick?
Well,
yeah, I'm going to take Encarnacion.
All right, because that was my next player.
But again, I don't even have Cruz in my top 24.
So what would Cruz have to hit for you to feel better about him than Encarnacion?
I just feel like he might hit 220 over the next 2 months to get that batting average down.
Okay,
to
but usual. Overall, I mean, his batting averages from the previous three seasons, 266, or I'm sorry, previous four, 277, 266, 260, 263.
Yeah, and so, I think he's a 265 hitter who's hitting 340 fair. Right now, and there's going to be.
Let me ask you this question then. Why didn't you have Cruz this high before?
I think just stuck in preconceived notions about his pace not being what it is for power, about injury, which I think at this point in time is pretty silly.
I mean, I think the injury concerns are fair. He's 34.
Al, let me read you Nelson Cruz's batting average last year by month. Mm-hmm. 279 in April, 339 in May. And then in June, July, and August, Cruz hit 215, 211, and 216. And he hit 15 home runs in those 3 months. After the All-Star break, he hit 249. He finished with a strong September. But 215, 211, 216, that's my fear. It's the same thing I have with Todd Frazier. Because I feel like, you know, even though Frazier's not hitting for a high average, I feel like Cruz is due for a lot of regression, especially in batting average. And Frazier's due for a lot of regression kind of overall, or some regression.
But regression doesn't necessarily mean he goes to the floor. It could mean, and I would expect, rest of season he's going to hit about 265.
I don't know. I feel like he might hit 235 over the rest
of
the season.
But if you believe that he's going to hit to what? 230? 220?
I don't know. Maybe 240, 245?
All right, 245. So if you believe he's going to hit 245, 20 points below his norm for the previous four seasons, then you have to think that there's an equal chance he's going to hit 285.
Not really, though, because his track record.
No, it doesn't work that way. You don't regress to the opposite of how far above your norm you've gone. You know, the odds are still.
Yeah, okay. You're right.
You know,
but
so
I think if he's hit
265 on a 35 to 40 homer pace, which I feel like might even be a conservative estimate for power, you know, I don't think Encarnacion is going to beat that.
All right. It's good points. So you took Cruz, then Felix Hernandez, then I'm taking Encarnacion, and Al, you are up again.
Well, I just kind of blew it all right there.
You can go with a pitcher here. You got Adam Jones, you got Brantley, you got Puig, you got Tulo.
Ah, boy. Tulo's slipped quite a bit, but I would consider him and Jones, and I would say maybe Sale at this point. All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm doing it. I'm Adam Jones over Tulo.
Adam Jones, 16 overall. Chris, 17?
Number 17.
Actually, this is 18.
Number 18. Well, this is a tricky one because the guy that I'm thinking about did all of his, not all of his damage, but a lot of his damage in the first five games of the season. But he's a top 12 player overall. He was, Al, coming into the season, you had him 19th, so it's not even a stretch. Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting. So that this is what I kind of wanted to see with this exercise, how much things would change. And I don't know. I mean, why didn't we take Gonzalez in the second round?
Al had him 19th coming into the season. I'm looking at his Roto rankings right now.
Really? Because we weren't drafting him that way.
Well, Scott had him 51st, so there was a big divergence there.
Yeah, I mean, I knew there was no way I needed to take Gonzalez in the second.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Adrian Gonzalez it is.
I like that, by the way.
What?
Gonzalez. There.
Oh, thank you.
So another thing I wanted to see is where the pitchers would go, because I think based on what we know at this point, what we keep talking about, how there isn't as much pitching depth as we are used to, I think they got to start coming off the board at this point, and I'm going Max Scherzer,
yep,
third pitcher, 19th overall pick. Al, 20?
All right, it's Tulo time.
Tulo it is. Give me your thoughts on Tulo rest of season, what you expect from him.
I do think the power will return for him. And you know, Chris raises a really good point, which is that he's just been really very aggressive. Not only in terms of just plate discipline, striking out more, barely walking, but hitting more fly balls. I think pulling also far more often. Yeah. So I do think that that's going to result in more power for him, provided that he stays off the DL.
Part of what I wonder with him, he's midway through his age 30 season. Given the fact that he's being more aggressive at the plate, he's striking out more, but not only striking out more, but swinging more. He's becoming more pull happy. These things would tend to indicate, to me anyway, and this would be my guess, is that you have someone who's trying to cheat. His bat speed's not quite where it used to be, and he's trying to cheat to catch up to fastballs. And so he has to be more aggressive because he can't read the pitch as it's coming in. He has to just react to what he sees immediately. And that's completely baseless conjecture, but that's my thought on it. And it's, I think he's at an age where this type of slip might not just be a one-month aberration.
Ah, man, I don't know. That would be a pretty steep decline for him because he's been an elite hitter.
I could say he's better than this, but maybe not the guy who can win a batting title with 20 home runs.
Yeah, and that gets back because I never really answered Adam's question. I do expect him to hit about 20 homers rest of the way, but I don't expect really any improvement in the batting average. I think he will hit in the 280 to 290 range.
Okay, so
at shortstop, that's, you know, still going to be good with that power, but he's not. I don't see him hitting 300 or higher.
Tulowitzki goes 20th. Chris, who's 21? Your boy Frazier?
No. I'm going to go with Michael Brantley, the man who never strikes out.
Even in Roto?
Even in Roto.
Okay, I will take...
I think he could win the American League batting title this season. I think he's going to help you a lot in batting average.
I'll take Puig.
Even if he might not be back for 3 more weeks?
I'm hoping it's not that long. I guess that would change things. If it was more than 2 weeks, then I probably
would. We don't really know how. It could be, you know, but he's currently not doing baseball activities, right?
Well, he had the setback. I'm not 100% sure. All right, fine. I won't take him. I'll take, I'll take Cueto.
All right.
Even though I'm tempted to take Kluber, I think it looks like he might win the Cy Young again. But
he's really good.
Cueto's amazing, so I will take Cueto. We've got 2 more picks left.
All right, this is tough because, I'll just throw out the names that I'm considering here. I'm actually giving Hanley some consideration at this point. Joey Votto or going pitcher, and I mentioned Sale before, I think you can put Kluber right up there with him at this point. And really, I think David Price should be there too. I think, though, I'm going to go This is tough. I think I'm going to go Votto here because we're about to look over the abyss in the first base depth. So, I think I need to make a point of grabbing Votto while he's still here.
That's interesting because he's slumping now and the power has kind of gone away from Votto, hasn't it?
I mean, yeah, recently, but, season to date, I don't think he can be disappointed at all.
No, but, the next 20 weeks, how are you going to feel about Joey Votto? What's he going to give you? Was that first little surge that Votto had, a bit of a mirage? Like, he'll be good, but not great.
Well, I mean, at this point, where we're drafting him among first basemen, you probably wouldn't call him great. Compared to Rizzo and Abreu and not to mention Goldschmidt and Cabrera. But, I think he's certainly going to have a power rebound compared to last season. I would expect probably about 25 home runs total.
So you take him over Freeman?
I would take him definitely over Freeman. And I think the batting average is going to correct upwards because I don't see him finishing below 300.
And he's at 292 now. Having a bad May, Votto's batting 255, homerless with four RBI. He's only slugging 273 in May. Chris, one more pick. Finish it off.
I will take a player who is currently rated 105th in Roto Leagues, right behind Ruby De La Rosa at the starting pitching category rankings. Corey Kluber, 76 strikeouts in 61 and two-thirds innings. He's amazing.
Did you guys give any thoughts on Matt Harvey, or do you think the innings limit...
Not in
down.
The first two rounds, no. And like I said, I had three pitchers at least ahead of them in the queue with Sale, Kluber, and Price.
Did you give any thought to Anthony Rendon?
Yeah, but ultimately, it seemed like first two rounds was going to be too early for him.
Okay, so did we learn anything from this exercise? Seems like Votto, Adrian Gonzalez, big gainers, Nelson Cruz as well. The Donaldson pick was kind of interesting. He has been so good. Third base, though, seems to be one of the deepest positions, really.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had even a couple of young guys take the step forward so far. I just think Donaldson's so safe based on what he's done the last couple of seasons. He's back to hitting 300. His strikeout rate, his home run rate, it all suggests that he can keep it up. I really like what he's doing right now.
And second base, to me, feels pretty shallow. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but...
Second base actually isn't that bad, especially relative to the most directly comparable position, which is shortstop, which is just a...
Well, it's shortstop's awful.
It's a cesspool.
Yeah, but I don't know. Second base, I feel like the guys aren't really playing that well, which is why Altuve, to me, was a huge... was definitely a seventh overall. But Cano... Now he's not in the top 24.
Yeah.
I didn't even give it a thought.
I did. I brought it up with Chris just before we started here, and Chris wrote a really nice blog on Cano. But, yeah, a second straight year of a high ground ball rate.
Yeah, the power's not coming back.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty obvious. I don't think it's a stretch to say that he's not going to hit even 20 home runs this season. But, he, I looked it up yesterday. He leads the majors in batted balls of at least 100 miles an hour. So he's still hitting the ball consistently hard, consistently harder than anybody else in baseball. But his average on those batted balls is way lower than the league average. I don't think that's going to sustain. I think his average is going to go soaring from this point on.
But what
so
else
it just depends on how
you?
Much you expect from him power wise.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not going to give you steals. He's not going to give you power at this point.
Yeah.
So you're getting average, hopefully some RBI and runs scored from him, and it's kind of disappointing. Okay, studs being studs from last night. Matt Harvey, Corey Kluber, Chris Sale, Cole Hamels, all impressed. Anyone have anything to say about these four guys that we haven't said already?
No, like I said, the one that made the impression on me was Hamels. Not that I was terribly concerned, but... almost any pitcher, I have some worries about them starting at Coors. That was very impressive to me that he did as well as he did.
Next category, the other guys who pitched last night. C.J. Wilson, one bad inning, 6 hits and 4 runs. Other than that, 4 hits and no runs in 4 innings. That was at Toronto. John Lackey. John Lackey might have been the biggest surprise of the night for me. He pitched great at the Mets, struck out 6 in seven innings, gave up only three hits.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to tape another apology for Daily Fantasy Live because last week I trashed Erasmo Ramirez before he went out and had that out-of-body experience when he pitched really well. Mm-hmm. And I spent about half the show last night telling people to stack against Lackey and saying just generally negative things.
Stacky. Rudy De La Rosa, Dan Herron pitched Lackey. Well. Mm-hmm. McCullers and Mike Fiers, who I don't get it.
Mike Fiers is inscrutable.
I don't get it. So Wilson, Lackey, Ruby, Herron, McCullers, Fiers, top three.
Ruby, Wilson, Fiers, I guess. I've harped on it before, but Fiers is someone that I know somebody has to own. I just don't want it to be me.
Ruby, Fiers, and to me, Lackey and Herron are both still very venue dependent, despite Lackey pitching well last night at City Field. I'll go McCullers. I'll go McCullers for the third one.
Next category. I don't know how it. I can't do the voice, but I just can't do it, Captain. I don't have the power. You guys don't like Star Trek, do you? Towers?
Yeah, I like Star Trek. Yeah. Who doesn't like Star Trek?
I've never seen it, so I can't.
You've never seen any Star Trek?
I don't think so.
Nothing? You've never watched, like,
movies,
any of
TV
the
I've definitely never seen the
17 blockbuster movies?
No, never seen the movies.
You haven't seen the J.J. Abrams reboots are great.
Have I seen the movie? Maybe I have.
It's the one with Chris Pike.
I don't think so. Anyway, you're a geek. Okay. So these guys, where's the power? Jose Abreu, one home run in his last 18 games. Ian Kinsler, top seven second baseman despite no home runs, but he does have 10 doubles. And Yadier Molina, who's hitting well right now, but no power. He is borderline top 12 catcher.
I find Kinsler really interesting this year.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me how many hitters there are that seem to have really reworked their game to deal with the shift. Mm. And Kinsler's one of the more dramatic ones. He's been a pole hitter his whole career, a pole hitting fly ball machine. And he's gone the other way, literally and figuratively this year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's, I think I like this version better, to be honest.
Well, it's interesting, Al, that he has no home runs, but still 20 RBI. And he's got the second most runs at the position, and Kinsler is fifth in points, seventh in roto at second base, batting .318, which is a lot higher than what we usually see, but one walk per strikeout, 19 walks, 19 strikeouts. So this version of Ian Kinsler does not have to hit home runs in that order, in that lineup, to be a really good second base option, I guess.
And I think he still will hit home runs. I think if I put the over-under at 12.5, I would take the over.
I'm going to take the under, and I'm okay with that because the last couple of seasons, he's hit 17 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
And, if he winds up hitting like 9, which is actually more, I think, in line with what I expect rest of season, the payoff in terms of the higher batting average and on base percentage and run production, I think far outweighs, losing, what might only be half a dozen home runs.
Anybody concerned at all about Jose Abreu?
I don't think I am.
No. Because I've already freaked out once about him hitting with relatively little power. I've just learned to trust the skill set, which is awesome.
None up. Nobody up. How about three down today? Albert Pujols is three down number one. He homered yesterday, but he is not even a top 20 first baseman, and he's batting .237 with seven home runs. And I want to remind everyone that last year, in his last 127 games, so basically after a good month to like 5 or 6 weeks maybe, he batted .264, .312 on base, .433 slugging percentage, which isn't very good. So does Pujols look like a bust to you guys, or do you think the better things are to come?
I think better things are to come. He's hitting better in May already. But it's probably a stretch to say top 15 first baseman.
Wow, if he's not a top 15 for his baseman, then I would call Pujols a bust.
For sure. I did call him a bust preseason, and I'll stick with that, and yet I do think he'll be top 15 for sure.
You have him 10th, Al. So you have him ahead of Victor Martinez. Can't argue that. Ahead of Prince.
Martinez will drop.
ahead of Prince Fielder, ahead of Ryan Zimmerman, Adam LaRoche, Lucas Duda. Maybe Duda's interesting. Would you take Duda or Pujols? Is that a tough one for you?
That is a tough one. That's one I'll have to really, work on when I work on my rankings later today. I could definitely see putting Duda ahead of Pujols. And Duda's another one, too, who has changed his approach.
AJ Pollock is, Al, three down number two. AJ Pollock doesn't play every day. 0 for 6 with two strikeouts at Miami last night. I was surprised to see he's 26th in Roto at the outfield position. He's 39th in points. So Pollock, I don't know quite what to make of him. What do you think of AJ Pollock?
Well, the fact that you mentioned he's not playing every day, I mean, I don't like this arrangement that the Diamondbacks have for any of the outfielders. And maybe the least for Pollock. I don't know that's going to get a whole lot better than this.
What do you expect from him? Because he's not hitting for power. I think, Al, you were a little dubious of the power from last year.
Yeah, I mean, I had him as a... I'm trying to remember if it was a sleeper breakout. I think I have him as a sleeper. I don't think I have him as a breakout. I saw maybe like a dozen home runs from him, but, you know, with steals and a high average. I do think he could hit for a little bit higher of an average, but not playing every day is going to hurt his ability to score runs.
Rest of season, AJ Pollock or Gregory Polanco?
I'll go Pollock still.
Chris?
I'm going to go Polanco.
How about Trumbo or Pollock?
Trumbo.
Yeah.
Denard Span or AJ Pollock?
Span.
Span.
Okay.
I loved the Nationals Padres series over the weekend when we had the dueling leadoff hitters, Span vs. Vandenberg. That was fun.
How do you find these things, Al?
The box score, Adam.
Oh, yeah. I should look at those. Christian Yelich.
Stop watching the games.
Christian Yelich is off to a bad start. When he hasn't been hurt, he's been bad. He's batting 179. Yelich went 1 for 5 with 2 strikeouts yesterday, and he's 1 for 14 this year against lefties. Last season, only one home run and 142 at-bats, but at least he hit 317 against lefties. Chris, your thoughts on Christian Yelich?
I was hoping that coming back from the back injury would help him get back on track. It hasn't been the case yet. It's still a really small sample size. We're still talking about 87 plate appearances. He's always struck out a bit too much to sustain the kind of 290-ish average that people were expecting. But he's got to be better than this, right? I can't see him continuing to strike out in 29% of his plate appearances.
So would you put the buy low tag on Yelich?
Yes, but it's not a huge endorsement. Okay. You know, I'm not necessarily saying you should definitely go out and get him. There are reasons to be concerned.
In the bullpen, Brad Ziegler, 2 scoreless innings, no hits, no walks, and 3 strikeouts at Miami. He pitched the 10th and the 11th after Ruby De La Rosa pitched the first 9. So he was a lot better than Addison Reed, and I don't know if you guys have anything to add about that situation.
Not really, other than when I was saying early on in the show that there aren't too many closers out there that I would pick up because they represent an upgrade over the closers or the relief eligible pitchers that I have. And I would put Ziegler in that category of, in a deeper league, I think he's got great value. Or if you just didn't, you don't have a good relief situation, but he's not a must add.
Injuries, news, and notes. Jared Cozart's on the DL with vertigo. Tom Kohler will start today for the Marlins against Arizona. Justin Verlander making progress. I was shocked that Verlander is 94% owned.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if that's going to go down once he comes off the DL. I mean, it's easy to stash him on a DL spot right now, but where do you guys rank Verlander? Like, when he comes off the DL, he'll be a top what starting pitcher?
I'm not sure. Well, I've got him 63 now, and I was just about to say I'm not sure I'd have him in the top 60. I'll go ahead and say 60, but barely.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's really hard to expect him to put together a big season.
Jason Wirth, no fracture, no ligament damage in his wrist. Devin Travis missed his second straight game with a shoulder injury. Milwaukee sent Scooter Gennett to AAA, and Hector Gomez started at second base last night. Drew Pomeranz left last night's start with shoulder soreness. He also walked everyone. Avisaíl García has a knee injury. Robin Ventura says they were being very cautious when they took García out. David Wright was cleared for baseball activities. Marcelo Zuna was out with a personal issue. Should be back today. Matt Latos expected to make his next start. That's Thursday. Chad Billingsley. Bad news for DFS players. Chad Billingsley is on the DL.
That's mean.
Severino Gonzalez is going to start for the Phillies on Wednesday. I guess that could be good news for DFS. Is that game's going to be in Colorado? Right? Probably?
Yeah.
Yes.
Corey Dickerson has a special sock that he wears at night to heal his foot.
But does it have Batman on it?
I don't think so, but it has healing powers. Jose Reyes expected to begin a rehab assignment this week. Carlos Santana missed yesterday's game with back spasms, and Billy Burns was out of the lineup for Coco Crisp, who is now 2-for-44.
Woo. I got one more to add, and I find this kind of interesting.
Hit it.
The Cubs have traded, and this is per Jeff Passan, Cubs have traded Wellington Castillo to the Mariners, and I have to wonder if that is a vote of no confidence in Mike Zunino.
Yeah, that is. That's a good point. Okay, we'll see what happens there. Before we do DFS, we'll remind everyone to watch Daily Fantasy Live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Scott and Heath today?
Yes.
With Ryan Bass. Oh, what's the matter, Chris?
Sorry, I had to cough.
You sick?
No, I just had to cough. Just one cough. I'm allowed to cough.
Listen, dude, you should go home if you're sick.
You can't get sick. You're fine.
I just poor Al over there.
What's
done is done. Chris has been breathing in my direction for the last hour, so.
Emails. We'll do emails and then we'll do DFS. Email from Ron. Dear Marty, Doc, and Einstein. I know that one.
I don't know that one.
Yes, you do.
Nope.
It's a Star Trek.
Yeah. Yes, well, might as well be with all the time travel. Who will have a better season going forward, Logan Forsyth or Brad Miller? And will they be better than Correa when he gets called up? Hashtag go fish. Hashtag Jose is almost back.
I think I would expect more from Correa. I know it's asking a lot. He's not even 21, but I just think his upside is so tremendous, and I think he seems like the kind of guy who could hit the ground running.
Yeah, and you know, I like Forsyth, but I like Brad Miller too, but it's not setting the bar, you know, that high for Chris. I agree with you, Chris, on that. That's a tough call, Forsyth versus Miller. I'm going to go Forsyth.
I'll take Miller.
Okay.
From Steven, dear Henry Rowengartner, Ricky Vaughn, and Roy Hobbs.
Oh, by the way, I got a copy of The Sandlot.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I just have to watch it.
Those are all really good fictional rookies.
Hobbs was a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the thing? He's the natural. He comes out of nowhere.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
It's
yeah, I've heard it's not so good. I know Scott doesn't really like it. But if I say that on the podcast, I get like 10 people on Twitter telling me I'm a jerk. So here's the question from Steven. I know it's hard to get a question answered on air, so here's a dumb column A pun that can relate to Al. Instead of "You Can Call Me Al" by Paul Simon, it could be "You Can Column A Al."
Now you just have to sing it.
I can call you Betty. And Betty, when you call me, you can call me Al. That kind of works. Okay.
It works. Yeah.
In closing, Jason Hayward stinks and Ruzne Castillo and Carlos Correa should be in the majors.
I agree with two of those three things. Actually, one of those three things.
Do y'all think Ruzne should be in the majors?
It's just, he could be, but it's hard to find playing time there.
No, it isn't.
Should be hard.
Right field. Right field. He should be playing there. It was written about on ESPN Boston this morning, and it's like, or whenever that was. I read it this morning, and it's like he's hitting better at Castillo, and their outfield, Betts is, you know, struggling a bit, but right field is a black hole for them. So get him up there already. They need it. Scott from Naperville. Dear Harry, Chip, and Len. Former Cubs broadcasters.
Yeah, because right? I couldn't remember Chip Carey being a Cubs broadcaster.
You're right. Maybe he wasn't. But former broadcasters. I have Kipnis, Rendon, Adam Jones, Pence, Justin Upton, Puig, and Soler.
Stop bragging.
Who should I look to trade? And what could I get back?
Actually, Kipnis.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the way I was going to go. I think you could probably sell high on him right now.
Yep.
We have an owner, Jody from Independence, Oregon, who is disappointed with Mike Trout. Does anybody share his sentiment?
No.
All right, and finally we have Rob from East Hampton, Connecticut.
Oh, there's a great P.S. from Jody.
P.S. I went to grade school with Harold Reynolds, Roosevelt Elementary in Corvallis, Oregon. He was really fast and probably smarter than I was, but I feel I was the better ball player back then. Cool. Thank you, Jody. And Rob from East Hampton, dear Mackie, Wasaki, and Dalworth. I never would have gotten that. That was the lead characters in Sean Ryan TV series, The Shield, Chicago Code, and Terriers.
Oh, okay.
All I knew was The Shield. I'm wondering about Carrasco's value moving forward. Would you offer Colin McHugh or Lance Lynn straight up for Carlos Carrasco?
Either one.
Yeah,
easily.
Yeah, if you missed it, Al said that Carrasco is a buy low guy. He looks like he's got a surge coming on. Let's talk DFS, guys. Full slate of games tonight.
Yay!
There are some really interesting stacks. The Marlins against De La Rosa. The Phillies-Rockies game.
Did you mean Helixson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Against Helixson, sorry. The Dodgers against Tim Hudson, who's been really bad at home. I'm going to look up the slate now. You got Taijuan Walker at the Orioles. Have you guys taken a look? Do you like anything?
I've not taken a full look, but one thing I want to do right now is see what Jimmy Nelson's going to cost. Because I have
Jimmy Nelson is 6,600 against Detroit.
All right, well, there's my tournament play of the day then, for sure.
Really?
I figured he would be priced that way because Nelson's been pretty bad lately. He's been getting killed by lefties.
They don't have any lefties.
The Tigers don't have any lefties.
Anthony Gose is their only left-handed batter, really.
Nobody that scares me. So, yeah, I like Nelson.
So maybe Gose could be a good play, too.
Well, I thought the same thing when they played Carlos Martinez last week, and I think Gose, he either went hitless or wasn't in the lineup for that game. So, not always an easy call.
No, it's never an easy call. Another stack I like is Nationals lefties against Nathan Eovaldi, who they've faced a lot. And one righty who kills him is Ryan Zimmerman. Well, kills him in 8 at-bats, 3 for 8 with 2 home runs. But Eovaldi is just so hittable, and lefties are having 916 OPS against him. Yasmani Grandal, he is the 10th most expensive catcher. He's 5 for 14 with a home run and 2 doubles against Tim Hudson. And just Yasmani Grandal being the 10th most expensive catcher to begin with in a good matchup, I think, is reason to like him. I'm going with Michael Franco again. He's still only 2,500. He's facing Chad Bettis at Colorado. And pitching is interesting. I don't see a reason not to like Sonny Gray at Houston, but he is very expensive. And
most expensive pitcher on the board.
By far, yeah, I think. And I like Jose Quintana, guys. He's the 14th most expensive pitcher. He's 7,600, which sounds like it's 1,000 more than Jimmy Nelson. And in 4 of his last 5 starts against Cleveland, Quintana has given up 2 earned runs or less. So, you know, there's that. Anything else jump out at you guys?
Yeah, Heath was citing some pretty interesting stats about Aaron Sanchez, who's really dominated righties, and I didn't realize. But... you know, pretty brutal against lefties. So, like Cole Calhoun today, 2,900 for Calhoun.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to the lineup.
Yeah.
There's some
A Rocky stack makes sense to me, too, because I know Harang's been really good. Still, though, a fly ball pitcher. And, in fact, Chris has shown me the wonders of Baseball Savant.
Yeah.
And according to them, Harang leads the majors in number of fly balls of at least 300 feet allowed, and he's been keeping him in the park. That's going to be tougher to do at Coors.
Okay. I don't like Kipnis again. He is facing a lefty who lefties are slugging 413. I think actually their OPS, I think, is 413 against Jose Quintana, and Kipnis is 6 for 27. And you against Quintana. you might look at St. Louis and think, oh, they're facing Jonathan Neese, they're going to crush him. But Neese is actually a pretty good pitcher at home. Last 3 years, ERA under 3. Right now, it's under 2 at home. Hayward, Peralta, and Molina have good career numbers against Neese. I don't know. Would you go with Jason Hayward? Does that seem a little risky? I mean, he's got very good numbers against Neese.
I wouldn't
either.
I like the Cole Calhoun call. He's the first guy I'm putting in my lineup.
Yeah, I was surprised he was so cheap.
You know, and the Rangers against Wade Miley. Beltre could be a good one. I don't know about lefties against Miley. I was thinking maybe more righties. But if I recall, I don't think he was a huge righty-lefty split guy. Could look that up. But yeah, anyway, there are a lot of bad pitchers that you can pick on today. Anything else, dudes?
That's it for me.
All right, more advice for you at 6 p.m. Eastern, Daily Fantasy Live on CBSSports.com. Chris, Al, thank you. See you later.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
I'm Adam Azer. Nerds out.